Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. While you're standing, while you're on your feet, take your Bibles. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Thank you, Father. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5 this morning. What a chapter. What great scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5. Are you there? Amen. Everybody there? Praise God. It says, on this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain the law, saying, the Lord, our God, spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at the mountains. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains, and in the lowland, and in the south, and on the sea crest, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them, their descendants, after them. Father, I thank you for this word, and I thank you, Father, that clearly in Scripture we see that you've given your people land to take. So, Father, we thank you for the promises of God. They are yes and amen. And Father, I thank you for the Lord. Just give us a heart to receive your word today. And Lord, may great vision be upon the house and God's people. Lord, I thank you also that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let faith ring in the ears and in the hearts of people today, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Deuteronomy, 1, in verse 8, it says, see that I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Go in and possess the land. Just to get a picture, Israel stood on the edge of their destiny, and God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. There was a promise given to the Israelites. You're going to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now that, I don't know if anybody likes milk or likes honey, but for them, that was a big deal. You're going to go to a land that's flourishing, a land that's prosperous. And so you see in the context of even what that represents. But one of the things about the Israelites that you'll see is that, anytime you go take territory or anytime you go to take land, there can be opposition. Amen. There can be some opposition, but one of the things that they had to do was they had to make a choice. Do I choose to stay in a land that I'm not called to, or do I pursue greater the things of God? Do I pursue the promises of God? And church, I got good news for you this morning. We're here to pursue the promises of God. You are here to pursue the promises. You don't walk into a church just hoping things stay the same. I'm always under that assumption that when I come to the house of God, when I get with God, I'm expecting something to happen. I'm expecting that we pray weekly, every day. When we call upon God, we're expecting God to do something. We're expecting God to move in our lives or to change situations. You see a people that are living in the wilderness. And, today there are, unfortunately, people that are living in wilderness places. Spiritual deadness. And God's calling the church in this hour to pull those people out of that wickedness, out of spiritual deadness, and bring them into light, the light of Jesus Christ. That's a responsibility and role that we have as the church. To pull people out of dry places, to pull them out of wilderness places and say, no, look at what my God can do. Look at what my God can do. Look at what Jesus Christ has done for you. God is calling us not just to be in a place of wondering in our life, wondering if this is going to happen, wondering if that's going to happen. I just wonder one day. No, God's not calling us to wander. He's calling us to take possession, and He's calling us to a place in our life to say, no, this is the promise of God. So God's calling us to possess the land. He's calling us to possess the land, church. You know, some of you have heard this story, and you know where we've been over a period of almost 2 years. You know, and praise God, you know, we're here. You know, it kind of has felt like a little bit of a roller coaster at times, hasn't it? I mean, really. I mean, it's like we're busting out the seams at our other location. We go to two services, and you know, and we know from that point we've got to be in a different location. We make the decision to move to the Commons area. That didn't work out. You know, that lease got canceled 4 days before we entered the building. You know, not anything on our part. It was just, it just didn't happen. As a result of that, we ended up here. That in one day, in a matter of eight to, you know, I don't know. In a matter of 8 hours, we're looking at other locations, and you know, we come to this property, and in a matter of a 45-minute phone call and walking this property, God had opened up a door. This is a door God's open. This location is a location God's open. You know, we've been in a contract right now for 6 months to secure this location. We're at the end of that contract. Dr. Morocco called me yesterday, and he said, and you know, not without opposition. You know, guys, listen, you realize something, that when you go to take territory or when you go to take land, there'll be giants. People act like the, you know, opposition's like not real. Opposition is real. There are some giants. You know, Miranda looked at me the other day, and she's like, you know, there's just been a major opposition about us securing this location, this specific spot. And I felt that. I felt that many times as I've been on that on the property. And I'm not here to, like, you know, the devil's out. You know, the devil's defeated. But there has been opposition. Doctor called me Friday. He said, "Look," he said, "we're at this place right now where we're going to be able to secure the location." But he said we're going to need about $180,000. He said, "You have faith." I said, "I have faith." I said, "I have faith." And so, you know, that's positionally where we're at right now as a church. But God. But God, I believe in a big God. So, and he said, "By the grace of God, we'll get this done." And I said, "Yes, sir, we'll get it done." So, you know, we, over the next month, we're standing. You know, we've not come, you know, like you don't go to the edge of the promised land and not cross over. You don't move into a place of like, well, we could have possessed the land. No, we will possess the land because we believe God. We believe God. You know, I will say this to this house. This church plays a crucial role in our community. You know, to date, since we've been here, we go into year 7 in January. We'll start year 7. 7 is the representation of completion. You know, we always believed that we would be in a location in another building. It's taken a little longer than maybe what I thought personally. But sometimes, there's opposition. There's things that take place. And I'm not here to preach about opposition because I know how big my God is and I know how good God is. You know, we believe that the church here will play a crucial role, not only in reaching Fairmont, but surrounding counties and communities. That's why we exist. It's why the church exists. You know, when we started here the first week, we had actually, you know, one service throughout that week. We were 3 weeks into it. Now every night of the week you can find something taking place here. Whether it's a prayer meeting, whether it's a life group, whether it's a transformation service, God has given us the territory. God has given us the ground. You know, what does it take? It takes vision, guys. It takes people of faith, and it takes vision. I want to tell you today, and I want you to grab a hold of this, because not just for this church in this location, in this building, things are settled. You know, it's like healing. There's things that you move into an area where things are settled in your spirit. You know, even as I reached out yesterday and I spoke with a few people, you know, and I don't, it's, you know, where we're at, what's going on. And every step of the way, all I heard was faith. All I heard was faith. Well, you know, I will say this. I get around people of faith that are going to encourage. You know, it's good to get around people of faith. Amen. That will encourage you. But as I, you know, even begin just to cast the vision for this month, you know, I had somebody say, you know what, I'm going to give $25,000 towards this. I said, well, that's a good way to get the ball rolling. Amen. Amen. I've already had people that, you know, that I've talked, anybody that I've talked to said, you know, this is kingdom. This, you know, guys, this isn't my house. This isn't Pastor Miranda's house. This isn't Dr. Morocco's house. This is your house. It's the church. This church belongs to the people. And God certainly is moving on planet Earth right now. So, you know, can I tell you, that's pretty encouraging for a pastor. I'm gonna give $25,000. You know, I'm gonna play my part, or I'm gonna do my part. And I believe that's what we'll see take place over this month. We'll see people that, you know, we'll see supernatural giving released, the gift of giving to be released upon this house. My wife and I will personally sow, and I there are things that God's wanting me to do right now that, you know, it will, and I know that it will stretch my faith. It will stretch my faith. But I believe this. I believe that there are things that are settled in heaven. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is our advocate. Jesus Christ is our advocate. You know, a term meaning defender or helper or lawyer. He pleads our case to God the Father. You know, He's making intercessions for the church. We come together in agreement. You know, we agree in prayer, and Jesus makes intercessions. You know, when I thought about this, and I thought, you know, even out of the scripture, out of Deuteronomy chapter 1, you see this really strong word. It's like go in and possess the land. We don't have deeds yet. You know, and I received a word yesterday from a person that's very prophetic. And he said, there's something significant about you signing those papers. He said, there's something significant about ownership. And I said, I agree. He said, because when you possess and when you sign and when you have that, it signifies that you're possessing the land. That there's a stamp that this belongs to you. And you know, this is where we're at. We're not in a place where we're shrinking back. We're in a place where we're moving in faith, and we will get this done, church. Can I get an amen in the house this morning? We're going to get it done. In Joshua 1:3, you know, the Bible says this. This is every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. Now, I want you to think about this, because God didn't say, I will give. He said, I have given to you. I have given. It's not that I'm going to give this to you. I have given it to you. Give and given, they're two different words. So it's, I've given this land to you. And I don't know how many people feel that way when you come on this property. You feel like, this is ours. We're possessing the land. Amen. I when we started this whole process, you know, it was like Nehemiah. You know, when Nehemiah began to call upon the people of to build the walls. He began to call upon them. Not all those people even got along, but they agreed upon one thing, that they were going to see God. They were going to see these walls restored. They were going to see God move. Arise and build. Those were the words that Jeremiah released into his people. And as that took place, what happened in 52 days? They restored the walls. When we got into this building, you know, in 33 days, it's interesting, 33 days, we were holding services. You know, and that's what I know. I know about this people. I know about how big my God is. God's people respond. when they're stirred up in faith, God's people respond. And I believe that this time and this hour is an hour of response. This will be a time that we respond. Because God's in our lives, and God, you know, that manifest presence of God is so real. It's so real. But Joshua, God didn't say, I will give. He said, I have given. You see, you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. We're not fighting in a place of victory, but we're victorious. It's your identification of who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm victorious as a believer. You know, I'm victorious as a Christian. I'm victorious in my marriage. I'm victorious in my workplace. You know, it's like, it's because of who I am. It's because, you know, we sang that song this morning. It's because the nature of God lives on the inside of me. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. It's because that the nature of God lives on the inside of me. You know, when I realized, some years ago, when I realized the power that was within me, you know, I was like, God, truly, I'm not my own. You own me, Father. As Paul would say, as Peter would say, as James would say, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I've set my faith, I've set my heart hey God, I'm all in. I'm all in. See, the promises already, you know, the promises of God, they're already settled. You know, I can't sit here and tell you how all this gets done. I don't know. But I believe I'm looking at a people today that will respond in faith. I believe there will be people outside of this house that will respond in faith. You know, I didn't talk to a lot of people yesterday. I prayed a lot yesterday. Because, Lord, then we need a few strategies. What are the right strategies? What are the things that we need to do, Father? You know, and it's like, you know, we have so many things. You know, we own property here. We own property over here, and, you know, and potentially we have the option of being able to sell that property. That property is a nice property. But, you know, we've got to make things happen like in these next 2 to 3 weeks. And you know, and it will happen. See, it's not that we're in this place of just asking God. It's that we also learn how to stand upon the promises of God. Possess the land. Possess the land. Guys, can I give you something today? You're like, possess the land. Possess the land. Possess the territory God's given you. Men, possess the land around your homes. Women, possess the land around. Possess the land. And you got to, this has got to be an eternal kind of thing. You've got, you do that. And as you do that, what does God do? God gives. He gives more to you. He gives more as you begin to possess the land. Guys, this is just one of a couple places that God will move throughout the state of West Virginia. I know that. God's given us a vision for this state. It's not just, this is hub. This is home base. We're establishing home base in Fairmont, West Virginia. It's easy to get off the interstate. It's easy, you know, you can come in from this way. You know, when traffic's backed up, you have a back way in. See, isn't God good? How many ever use Route 73 to come when traffic's backed up? Yeah, I do a lot. I got hands going up. Yeah, 70, you know, because, so God's given us a location that's very visible, amen? The other location we were looking at, praise God, what a great piece of property, but not so visible. Actually, I realized the other day that we could put a sign on the back of the hill that you could actually see from the interstate. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's Kings down there. See, God's, we hold fast to the promises of God. See, it's settled. You know, during Christmas time, think about this as even as an illustration or as an example. At Christmas time, I wrap up all these gifts and I put them in the corner and invite my family and invite my kids over and just say, you know what? These are all the gifts. Now, Zephan, he would be upset. I know that. Gracia would be upset. They would, if I put all these gifts in the corner, you know, it's settled. I bought all these gifts for you, but you can't unwrap them. You can look at them. You can go over and touch them. You can shake them, but you can't unwrap the package.
See, a lot of times that's what happens with God's promises. We don't take or possess actually what belongs to us. Church, I don't know about you, but I get a little disgusted. I get a little frustrated when evil people come into a community and put a strip club up. Or put a fortune teller, whatever thing. That agitates me. It should agitate the church. We should be at this place where the church is saying, no, we're going to seek godly businesses, good Christian godly men and women. Set the pace for our communities. That's taking territory. You know, as they entered the promised land and as they went, you know, it wasn't, you know, they had defeated some foes along the way. And, you know, just even to make that point, see, giants, you know, they'll guard the cities of breakthroughs. They'll, you know, there were giants before they were coming through the promised land. There were some giants. And I think sometimes we act, you know, when opposition comes, we act surprised. Don't be surprised. You know, this deal with this church should have been done 4 months ago. It should have been done 4 months ago. And so here we are, you know, realizing that, you know, it's like, well, I remember one of our guest speakers was talking about one of the main things that are preached upon is breakthrough. You know, throughout many churches, you hear a lot of people preach upon breakthrough. And I realize, you know, this, that a lot of times to break through, there might be a giant. There might be something that you have to overcome. You know, I think about this, you know, when we face, you know, see, it's scripturally, you understand, to be challenged is something that's very true. It'll happen in your life. But you're not defeated. And I think this is something Joshua and Caleb, they knew something about that. And you'll see it in Numbers 11. You'll see it in Numbers 13. They were of a different spirit. I'm looking at people here that are of a different spirit. That, you know, that they're, you know, people that don't shrink back and say, I don't have the faith for this. I'm looking at a group of people that say, I do have the faith for that. You know, when somebody said, you know, I want to plant $25,000 seed, I was like, that's a big seed. That's a big step of faith. That's saying, you know what? I'm coming at the face of an enemy and saying, I'm going to cut the head off of this giant. You know, think about David, and I heard somebody say it the other day. It's like David showed up with some rocks, and he's telling the giant what he's going to do. You know, how's he going to cut the head off of this giant? He doesn't even have a sword. He doesn't even have a sword. He's going to, you know, and we understand he took Goliath's sword and cut Goliath's head off. That's you know, he's battle ready, church. It's like, you know, is there ever a time unlike now that the church doesn't need to be battle ready? You know, some of you have been battle tested. You've been tested in the things of war. You've been in this place of warring spiritually. You've been in this place of like, no, I'm coming through, and I'm my breakthrough. I see my breakthrough. I know that I'm here to possess the land. I'm here to possess the promises of God for my life, for my family. Many of you are standing for your families even in here today, that they shall be saved. Don't quit. Don't let up. You stand. You stand. You remain in that place of faith, standing for your family, interceding. But, you know, giants were in the land, you know, in Numbers 13. And, you know, Caleb, he said, you know what? We are here to overcome. Different faith of a different spirit. We're here to overcome. See, guys, God's promises, they don't fail. They don't fail. You know what fear does? Fear exaggerates the enemy. You know, think about this, you know, 'cause fear was in the other spies, and they were like, we were like grasshoppers. That's what fear does. Fear makes you shrink. Fear makes you think that you're small. You know, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. But here's another guy's like, giant? I didn't see a giant. I seen a new land. I seen a new territory. And many of you, as you've stepped on this property, it's what you've seen. You've seen God. You said, hey, you know, we're painting, we're cleaning. I mean, it's, we're, you know, amen. We got a gym. Next week we have fall nights. We move from summer to fall. I think is it fall now? Are we officially in fall nights, Brother Donnie? So next week, you know, we move to fall nights here. And you know, we all come here and we celebrate God's goodness. We celebrate what God's given us. But you know, fear does. It exaggerates the enemy. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. But see, faith magnifies. Faith magnifies. Faith will magnify how big my God is. Church, in the wake of everything that's happened, even over the last 2 or 3 weeks, the Lord quickened me after the martyred death of Charlie Kirk. And he said, don't let this thing grow soft in you. Don't let this thing be something that's just passive, church. You keep reminding people this is the time and this is the hour that we stand. That we stand and we take territory. This isn't the time that you just forget about what's taking place across our nation. This isn't the time that you hide out or you just go back to status quo. I'm not, guys, I don't want to live in status quo. I don't want to be in a place of just, it looks the same. I don't want it to be the same. So when do you say enough is enough? You know, it starts and it burns. It's got to burn within your heart. Enough is enough. I'm not staying in this place any longer. I'm crossing over because of the promises of God. Because of the promises of God. Don't be double-minded. The Bible says this. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't be double-minded. Stand in faith. Stand in faith. Don't be double-minded. Don't be one foot in, one foot out. Don't be all over the place. Because, what happens when you get that way is that God's just still waiting on you. He's waiting on you to get your mind right. He's waiting on you to get your place positioned for the promises of God. You know, this message, I believe it's about us. I sent Stephen a message last night because as I was studying and I'm praying, I said, tell me when you felt the Lord speak to you about Fairmont being the city of freedom. What was happening? What was going on? And he shared with me, he said, I was in prayer. He said, I've been praying for a couple hours, I think, if I'm paraphrasing. You can tell everybody I was wrong later if I mess it up, so. Because, you know, sometimes a pastor butchers the story, you know. He said, I was praying for 2 hours and the Lord quickened me. He said, grab a pen and paper and start writing. And he said, and I began to write by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy, you know, he said, I didn't even know what I was writing. And I remember when those words were uttered the first time over at our other location, that Fairmont would be the city of freedom. Church, that's what we're sitting here to do. We're sitting here to rescue, to heal, to deliver, to set the captives free. Amen. That's the responsibility and role of a church. It's not, I love our fellowships. I love this church. I love that it's personal. Wednesday night I walked out, you know, it's like we had service, you know, and I walk outside and like 30 of you are just hanging out. And I'm like, I love it. I love it. I love the fact that you guys love each other and that's what it should be about. But you know, the other side of that is how do we get more people into this fellowship, right? To see God. Not see me, but to see God. Church, you're living proof that God is real. You're living proof that the Holy Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of you. The testimonies, the time of testing, things that people have been tested around. You're living proof that God is real. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't be in a place where it's like, no, I feel this way. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Stand in faith. See, I knew this, you know, when doctor said that to me the other day. See, God's word's not, it's not canceled over this property, over people's lives. It's God's word's not canceled. Okay, there's a little bit of opposition. What do you do when you meet opposition? And I tell you guys, sometimes you got to just head it head on. Don't be a baby. Head it head on. Sometimes you have to hit opposition that way. You don't put your head in the sand. Think everything's hit. You hit it head on. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they hit it head on. They went into the promise. Why did God choose them? Because they were of a different faith. They were of a different spirit. That's, you know, and I believe that we're going to be looking across the Sea of America and we're going to be saying, there's a lot more people right now that are fueled full of faith than we thought. There's a lot more churches that are standing. Amen. You know, guys, I pray for every, you know, I pray for the churches of our city. I pray that God would pour out his spirit upon them. Amen. See, David didn't, you know, and just another, David didn't see Goliath too big to kill. You know, he saw him as too big to miss. Big old giant, you're coming down. You know, he showed up on scene with an attitude of, God is on my side. Quit acting like God's not on your side. Do you know him? Do you spend time with him? Do you reverence him? God's for you. He's for you, church. He's for you. You know, David, you know, and I think about this. He shows up and he's like, who is this Philistine giant? Who is this fool? Who is this? He's coming against or defying the armies of God. Can you look within your life and say, who is this mocking? Who is this? Yeah, you know, this chattering. What is this noise? We look within and say, no. That comes down today in Jesus' mighty name. Those threats, those things that the enemy tries to throw, they come down today in Jesus' mighty name. God wants us healed. He wants us to forgive. So that those promises can ring true in our hearts. So that we can live like Jesus lived. That's our goal, right? To live like Jesus lived. What does possessing the land require? Faith. Faith without works is dead, James says. It requires faith. When you think about it. If you're buying a house, do you just sit back and hope it happens? No, you do. You go. You go meet with the people. You put an offering. You do all those things. You do. You know, I'm just going to sell my house. Nobody knows. No. You actually got. You got to move. You move yourself into that arena where you begin to take steps. Church, that's what we've been doing for about 5.5 months now. We're taking steps to possess the land, and we will possess the land. Faith always moves. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they, you know what they held on to? The promises of God. Church, we're holding on to the promises of God. You know, what steps of obedience does God want us to take? You know, as I shared with you guys where we're at as a church, you know, when doctor said, you know, looks like we need to come up with 180,000. You have faith. I said, I've got faith. He said, by the grace of God, we'll get it done. Let's do this thing. Let's get it done. I just said, yes, sir. Amen. Let's do this thing. That's my response is one of faith. My wife and I's response will be one of faith. Amen. So, you know, two things. You know, even around this special time of giving, I wouldn't tell anybody to give any amount. Do what you can do. Do your best. You know, pray, seek the Lord. That's what we can ask for. That's what, you know. Will some of you be challenged if you're listening to the Holy Spirit? Yes. That's the reality. Because we serve a big God. In Deuteronomy 1 and verse 21. See, that whole deal with possessing the land, it will require steps of faith. And in Deuteronomy 1:21 it says, look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers have spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged. And that's what I felt yesterday. I felt in my spirit. Okay. We've prayed, we've stood, now we possess the land. There is something very significant about taking land and taking territory and taking property. Something very significant about owning something. You possess it. You possess it. When you possess land, you can do with the land what you want. You know, if you own a property, I don't have the right to come in and tell you should do this or should do that. There's authority. And church, I believe that this will be a time where the church moves in great faith. Faith truly does always move. Let me close with this morning, because see, for the Israelites, it was the land of Canaan. See, because see, our land that we're possessing now is very different than it was for them in the Old Testament. You know, our land is now in Christ Jesus. For the Israelites, it was the land of Canaan. They were crossing over into the land of Canaan. For us right now, it's relationship with Christ Jesus. It's really what it's about, us being established in God's plan through Jesus Christ. You know, in Ephesians 1, verse 11, it says, "And in him we also have obtained an inheritance, being persuaded according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." In him we have obtained an inheritance. You guys, that's a powerful word, inheritance. In him we have an inheritance. See, there's something about possessing territory, possessing land. It's an inheritance. God wants his, you know, guys, the land of Canaan was theirs. They could have been there much, much quicker. Their grumblings, their complainings pulled them away from God's promises. They could have been there much, much quicker. 4-day journey takes 40 years. That's pretty wild, huh? They could have been there much quicker. You know, last week I preached on this and I talked about it, because how important our response is in faith. I believe the church is positionally in a great place. A lot of people are talking about the church and very negative about the church. And this, I believe positionally the church is in the place to take territory, to take ground throughout the rest of this year. And I believe that, you know, prophetically, we are in a very unique window right now. A very unique window of time. Dr. Morocco shared a word from Jim LaFoon, a prophet, really a prophet to the nations, and said, we're really truly in this window of about 7 years right now. Where great things are going to happen. And I see, I'm glad that we have people that are seeing that. And church, I don't know about you, but that's what I'm seeing for Kings, West Virginia. We're in a great place where we're going to begin to take territory. You know, this year's vision was increase, seek the double. I've had people testify, "Pastor, you won't believe what happened. My income doubled this year. My income, I don't know. My income doubled this year. This happened. That happened." You know, Pastor Miranda and I haven't even, we hadn't even looked at numbers. You know, we did 2 weeks ago, and she said from January of 2025 to start, she said we were running 60 to 70 people, and I think I shared this last week. But I want, it's a purpose in which I tell you, vision is so important. She said, you know, we're running 60 or 70 weekly. She said this past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we've been 130, 140, doubling. We're doubling. Ministries are doubling. Brother Stephen shared with me that there were 27 people in transformation Thursday. Woo, that's right. You can celebrate. 27 people in transformation. And it started in January with like 6 or 8. Isn't God good? So you know, the vision, you know, our facilities, we're in, I don't know how many facilities, who knows how many facilities we're in. 4, I think, right now. 5. Could be in 10. God's, you know, God's doing it through the faith of people. God's given us a place here. He's given us a place here. And we're going to possess it in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to possess it in Jesus' mighty name. See, in Christ Jesus, we've obtained that inheritance. Minister, if you would, this morning. We've obtained that inheritance. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. In Christ Jesus, we obtain an inheritance, salvation. First and foremost this morning, I can't say it enough, it's the most important decision anybody will ever make in their life, is to say yes to Jesus Christ. Is to just say yes to Jesus and say, I want to make Jesus the Lord, my Lord and my Savior. It really is about lordship. I don't want to just hear about Him and you know, think that I know. I want Him to be Lord of my life. You know, that word sozo, it's just not you receiving salvation or just Jesus as Savior and believing in that. There's so much that goes with it. Think about it. If we have an inheritance in Jesus Christ, an inheritance oftentimes isn't just one thing. You inherit multiple things. And that's what you get in salvation. A lot of people think, well, you know, I said that prayer. But they don't realize that they have an inheritance. And it's continual throughout their life. It's not just a one-time event. It's that you can have salvation and you can live out salvation. You can live out sozo. You know, the healing is yours. Jesus paid that price. Prosperity is yours, Pastor. Yeah, prosperity is yours. God wants you to be blessed. Why? So that you can be a blessing to others. But very plain today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.